Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is a new podcast slash panel show slash improv audio buffet for needcoffee.com. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but the world is a troubled place. Problems cropping up everywhere like hydras. You cut off one head and two take its place. But don't worry, this show isn't here to talk about problems or even just randomly insert mythological references. No, instead, this is a show that will give you wall-to-wall solutions. Now, to make that happen, we have assembled a panel of four expert problem solvers. They will be working out a variety of different problems that I will be giving them, and they will receive points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and surreality. Now, let's meet our panel. Because they are such professional solution providers, and to give our listeners an idea of their individual styles of attacking problems, I'm going to ask each of them to tell us about a famous problem from a movie that they would have solved differently. Now, first up, we have Neat Coffee's own artist in residence and the star of the recent podcast pilot, Help Me Rocks. It's Rox's Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
Hello, hello.
So, Rox, I'm sure there's been many a time you've been watching a movie and thought, man, they are going about this all wrong. Can you tell us about one of those times?
Can I just say a rant, really, more so?
No.
Well, you could try.
It's sort of. To me, the biggest problem in movies are empty cups.
Empty cups.
Okay, empty cups. You see them. They're cops. They're on the beat. There's no steam coming out from their little styrofoam little cups. You know what I would do? I would force these people to have really, really hot cups. Because, you know, you hold a hot cup differently than an empty cup. Here, they're just waving it around like it's a flag. No, I would make sure that it has molten lava in each cup so that they have to hold it so that they don't slosh all over themselves. So they'll carry it differently. Empty cups, I hate that. And that's how I'd solve it. Lava.
Well, Rox, well, at least now we know what happened, why your craft services career was so very short.
Yeah, you know, one day with the minestrone soup going awry. And, yeah. You know.
All right, well, moving on. Next, we have Aaron Poole, recovering podcaster, contributor to the website of Doom, and voted 12th most famous Irishman in a recent poll. Aaron, you are steeped...
There is only 12 of us.
Well... Yes, I know. I was not actually going to reveal that on the air, but you know,
okay.
I appreciate your honesty. Aaron, you are steeped in film, so I'm sure you would have approached a famous movie problem in a different way, yes?
Yes, steeped and stomped in film. Mm. The main issue that I would fix would be Jaws. Now, hear me out, because you're thinking Jaws, perfect movie, right? But you know, a lot of people died in that film, and that's not cool. So I think a more efficient way of killing the shark would have been to call the Japanese. Because if anybody knows how to wipe out what's living in the oceans, it's those guys. So I think it would have shortened the running length an awful lot. But I think it would have been a much more efficient way to save the little children, which is always what we should be doing in life.
And come out
the
other side.
To invoke Godzilla?
I think they were just trying to make some tasty soup. I don't know.
I can solve it better.
Oh God,
that situation.
We're not actually in that round, Rox.
Damn.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, though.
But by the way, Godzilla versus Mega Shark, new sci-fi movie coming this fall.
They've already wrapped production, and they started production 5 minutes ago. All right, so next we have John Boutel, who is the president and CEO of The Unique Geek and head technical guru for our Need Coffee AV Madness. John, can you tell us about a movie problem you would have approached from a different angle, perhaps?
Not only can I tell you about one that I would have solved differently, I can tell you one that I actually did solve differently. What I did is I took... first of all, let me explain what the problem is.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys remember a little film. It was back in the 80s sometime, I think, called Back to the Future.
Yes, I've heard of it.
At all? Well, it always struck me as odd that, you know, this guy, the son goes back in time, fixes everything, obviously does this amazing thing at this, what do you call those things?
Prom? Dances, yes.
Dance? Mm-hmm. Yes, dance. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen him, yet no one kind of questions that he looks identical to his teenage son when they get older. They completely forgot him. So I solved this gaping problem by combining, by creating a new movie, actually, what I call it Men in Black to the Future. And the Men in Black go back to the future, use their little mind wipey things, and that's the explanation for why they do not recall Michael J. Fox ever being alive in the 80s.
I see. And so did you create this film, or was it just some fan fiction that you wrote one time?
No, the fan fiction was called, well, never mind.
I think I see where you were going there. And
more explicit.
I'm tempted to give you a bonus point just for not going there. But moving right along. Last but assuredly not least, we are joined by Jay Edwards. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Hello. Jay is a director as well as an editor and producer on the show formerly known as Aqua Teen for Adult Swim, and is the only member of the panel to be an animated character on an animated show. The rest of us are just animated characters in reality. So, Jay, your knowledge of movies is formidable, as we know. What's an example of how you would tackle one of the movie problems differently?
I'm going to go back to the 50s to my favorite of the Roger Corman monster movies.
Ah, yes.
Called It Conquered the World.
Nice.
And in the end, through the course of the movie, Lee Van Cleef is duped by an alien, thinking the alien is coming to save the Earth, when in reality he's coming to take it over. And he takes it over. The alien in this is kind of a cone monster, kind of cross between a radish and asparagus.
I've never trusted either of those vegetables, so yes.
No. And little bat creatures come out from under his asparagus skirt. And bite you in the back of the head, and then you're a zombie, essentially. So Lee Van Cleef finally, in the end, figures out what he's been doing and grabs from his garage a blowtorch, like one of these handheld 50s blowtorches.
Right.
And that's how he dispatches the monster in the end. He blowtorches the monster's eye. I think I would have grabbed anything else, like a tire iron. maybe a gun or a knife, a kitchen knife. So I would have definitely tried to dispatch it with the monster either in a more cinematic way or just more efficiently.
Quite good. I appreciate the direct approach sometimes. All right, fantastic. The panel is introduced and we're ready to begin the game. But first, I'd like everyone who is listening at home to say hi, panel, aloud. Yes.
Hi, panel.
What? Well, everyone listening at home. But that's, Jay,
that includes me.
No, well, that's you listening at home later to yourself. I think that would count as well. So well done, Jay. I think a bonus point for enthusiasm. So we have that done. So we will go on to our first problem, which is called round one. Now, this is a quick fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you simply respond with a sensible solution or as sensible as you can manage. Okay, so Aaron, first of all, solve this. You're a monk whose monastery is about to come under attack by Mothra, but you can't warn anyone because you've taken a vow of silence.
Okay, so I am a monk myself.
Yes, you are.
Am I a funky monk?
That is unspecified. If you can be funky as a way of fixing the problem, then by all means.
Because not many people know, but my monk name is Reverend Groove, and I am part of the Church of Funk. So it is quite possible that through rock and roll, not only can I warn people, but I can also soothe. Let me get that word right. Soothe the savage beast. Am I using the correct word?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Let's say soothe. If not, I'll just claim I'm European and it's a word we have. I think by playing my music, which is given to me by the Heavenly Father, James Brown, I'd be able to not only warn the local people through rock and roll, but I can also make the moth person thingy feel happy and go away. So yes, that is my answer.
Okay, good enough. I'll give you 2 points for that and a bonus point for solving a problem in the middle of your original problem of making up a word potentially. So well done that.
Thank you.
Rox, next we have you. Rox, solve this. You're on a second date with a werewolf and it's not going well. How do you duck out knowing that your would-be beau can track you?
Oh, if it's a second date, hopefully we've gone somewhere fairly decent. So in that case, if he's got some kind of money, hopefully we went to, I don't know, let's say Longhorn. Okay.
Let's say that.
So I excuse myself to go to the bathroom. I make a bypass to the kitchen, pay the head waiter maybe like $10 to go out the back. However, I would make sure I get into the freezer first and just sort of start stealing steaks and like spread them all over me, sort of like a Walking Dead thing. So that I would be covered in, I'm like masking my scent with raw steak. And then I would call a cab because I would have a cell phone.
Well, that's good. I think we'll go with 2 points for that. And here's how I got with that. I gave you a bonus point for the idea that you would never be on a date with a cheap werewolf, because that actually makes sense with you, Rox. Right. Yeah. But I subtracted a point because the idea of you running into a restaurant and stealing steaks, we all know that's generally a Saturday night for you anyway, so it's really not that big of a deal.
You can't hold that against me.
I know you've never been convicted, so it's okay. All right, so moving on then. John, here's your problem. You find yourself shipwrecked on an island with Alvin and the Chipmunks. Now, not the original endearing animated trio, but the new and terrifying CG version.
I don't really see this as a problem, Widge. I mean, obviously the biggest issue would be eating. However, I have 3 tasty snacks at my ready. I believe I solve several problems all at once by filleting. We'll start with Alvin, because he's going to be the one that probably could. No, actually, let's go with Simon first, because he could solve the problem. No. Hold on. I got it. Okay, fillet Alvin first, because he's the ringleader. Then you do, what is the other one? Timothy? Timmy? Bobby? Steve?
I think it's
Theodore.
Felipe.
Felipe,
yes.
The fourth, much less known.
Right, of course.
I thought it was Chip.
It's Theodore.
No, that's from Beauty and the Beast.
Because he has a lot of nice fat content. You can right. burn
Actually, that. That was Gummo, okay.
Theodore's nice and fatty, so yes. You could use that to create the signal fire. In the meantime, I've tied Simon to a tree to observe all this going on, because he is the one that probably could create the coconut radio that we would need to get off of the island. That is how I solve that problem. By the way, once he does solve it, I go ahead and kill him.
I didn't expect it to go Eli Roth there, but well done for that. And I'll give you 3 points and a bonus point for solving a problem that is about to plague theaters nationwide yet again. So, for the good of humanity.
You're welcome, humanity.
Yes, yes. All right, so, Jay, here's one for you. How would you solve this? A Bigfoot with mange.
A Bigfoot with mange.
Yes.
Well, this is assuming that Bigfoot has either been captured or has befriended me.
Mm-hmm. Either one is acceptable, yes.
In which case, I've turned this into a string of feature films, documentaries and feature films, and I have plenty of money to take him to the Bigfoot vet and get some
pills. Is that a big chiropodist?
Big chiropodist?
Yeah, they look after feet.
Oh, okay.
European joke.
Oh, I gotcha. Thank you.
So yeah, I would think if I'm in that situation, I should have plenty of money and means to pull in a vet for my Bigfoot roommate.
There you go. All right, that's good. I'll go with 3 points for that, including the bonus point I would have given Aaron just for leaping in with the European joke, which your European joke bonuses end with this round. But I just love the idea that there is an entire range of Bigfoot vets out there just waiting for something to happen. So that excellent. Well done there.
I did a business card for one not too long ago.
Rox, I totally believe you. All right, so we're going to do another similar round, but this time I'm going to give you a problem and also an item that you must somehow incorporate into your solution. Now, this is in order to test your problem-solving creativity. John, we'll start with you. Your stagecoach has been held up by bandits. The item you must use as part of your solution is a slinky.
Now, just for clarification, this is not the USFL football team, the bandits, correct?
In my script here, it's a lowercase b, so I would say no.
Okay, the Tampa Bay Bandits?
Yes, it's not those guys, is it?
No, it does not appear to be no.
As coached by Steve Spurrier.
Correct. That is correct.
But that is not what we're talking about.
That's not who we're talking about. Although, if we had Steve Spurrier in this situation.
Oh, God.
You could take off his visor, hit him all across the head. All right. So, sports joke, folks. Let's see. I got a slinky. I'm being held up by lowercase bandits.
Yes.
This is a peculiar one. All right. Well, I would, of course, first distract them by putting the slinky at the top of the stagecoach. Show them how much fun it is to try and make it go down the stagecoach, which, of course, will then occupy them for the next 30 years trying to get it to actually go down like it does on said television, which has not been invented yet because apparently we're still riding around stagecoaches. While they are distracted, I'm going to go for the easy one and just take my horses and go. Wow, that was not very impressive at all, John.
No. No, I do appreciate the idea of the stagecoach seats, as I remember them, are basically like one step. I mean, so the idea of bandits gathered around one of these things, watching a slinky go down one step over and over again for 30 years.
First of all, have you ever tried to get a slinky go down a step? It does not work.
But John, the commercial says they walk downstairs alone or in pairs.
Yes, that is true.
Right.
That is what the commercial says. I'm not sure. Maybe I should solve something for you, Widge. Commercials?
I'm shocked and appalled by this, but I'm giving you 2 points for the slinky stagecoach solution.
Hey, I slinkied away.
Yeah, I know you did. But I was going to give you 3, but the sports joke that was a -1. But I'm giving you a bonus point for assisting me with my my view of reality, which, as we all know, I self-medicate for. So well done. All right, Rox, next one is for you. Mm-hmm. Rox, you're trying to get a coat out of your closet when you are accosted by a mildly creepy fawn who wants to take you away to a magical land. Now, the item you must use as part of your solution is a tuning fork.
Oh, okay. Tuning fork.
Yes.
Okay. Is the fawn more... Now, you said mildly irritating?
Well, creepy.
Well, that's a difference.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he is creepy.
Yes, he is.
Okay. You know, in the books, he wasn't creepy.
Yes, I know. But thanks to Walden Media, the films made him creepy.
Okay.
Yes.
So, well. Oh, well, this is easy. The fawn always has parcels in his hands. Okay. So I'm sure he's accosting me with his words, his innuendos. So with the tuning fork. Now, as everybody knows, fawns have horns at the top of their head. And if you strike said horn with a tuning fork, the pain would shoot right into his eye just because the amount of vibration that occurs from a tuning fork. So I will give him a double blast, bang, bang, and he would be stunned. I think, if anything, I'm going to revert to he will wind up in one of my crawl spaces, because if my closet has another entryway, I really want that. So unfortunately, the fawn will find himself in a crawl space after I stun him with a tuning fork.
Widge, I would like some points in that round for not jumping in on all those euphemisms.
Aaron, done.
Thank you.
Well done, Rox. I'll give you a solid 2 points for that. 1 point is the payment for making sure you are not convicted. But that's just part of my fee. All right. So Jay, this next one's for you.
Okay.
Jay, you are swimming and trying to make it to shore when you are confronted by the creature from the Black Lagoon. And the item you must use as part of your solution is a dozen helium-filled balloons.
A dozen helium-filled balloons.
That is correct, sir.
I will try to reason with the creature from the Black Lagoon, and he will be mesmerized by my high-pitched voice. Which is oddly dolphin-like. He won't understand the words, but he will you will understand my meaning. You'll understand the emotion behind my words because of my dolphin-like high-pitched voice. So by sucking the helium out of the balloons, of course.
Of course.
And eventually we become roommates with Bigfoot.
I was just going to say, it's a doorway into your mind how you always end up befriending the monsters.
Either that or the fawn, or, you know, you'll sound like the fawn with the high-pitched voice in my wall space.
That's right. The fawn in my house wears a black leather jacket. We call him Fonzie. Oh.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah, I think 3 points there and
I'm gonna have to protest. You must deduct a point for the bad pun at the end.
I have not gotten to that. I was doing that.
Okay, deduct a point for me for jumping in too early.
No. We'll let you have that point because that was bad. But I do appreciate the idea that Jay, your idea for dealing with a creature from the Black Lagoon is guaranteed to be better in any remake that comes out. So, so well done you. All right, Aaron. Finally, we come to you. Aaron, you find yourself at Pompeii when Vesuvius is about to erupt and bury the entire town in ash and molten lava. The item you must use as part of your solution, a haddock.
God damn you.
Can I first say that I'd like some lava for my movie? Thank you.
I would like to know at what point during the show did I become New Zealand? We just landed we with the fish every week. As we have stated on previous shows, haddock have many magical powers. One of which we said before was their homing GPS system. But another is also their amazing spawning effects. Now, for people who don't know, the haddock lay eggs in large, large amounts. So large, in fact, that it could actually fill the mouth of a volcano and block it up from erupting. But the only thing is how do we turn a haddock on that much?
What's your solution to that, Aaron? It sounds like you're giving yourself another problem there.
I kind of am. I've worked myself into a corner here. Thanks for pointing it out, Witch.
I have a fawn you can borrow.
All right, the idea of a fawn turning on a haddock that much is even creepier than the original fawn that I was envisioning, just for the record.
Well, I was just going to call in our good friend Jay Edwards and have him reenact his dolphin voice, because not only is it good enough to charm a creature from the Black Lagoon, but it is highly sexual to any haddock within earshot. So
sounds a little like this.
Whoa. Whoa, someone's going to have to get me a tissue.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sigur Rós. Sorry. All right. So Aaron, I think that will work. We'll give Jay a bonus point there for coming in and providing a musical score for your problem.
Sweet.
But well done there. So right. At the end of those rounds, I can tell you, that we currently have, Rox, you're in an unassailable third place with 5 points.
I have a feeling I'm becoming the Alan Davies of this show.
That's funny, because that's what we hired Aaron for. And his payment is a haddock. In second place, we have Aaron and John are both tied with 6 points. And Jay, you're in the lead with 7.
Sweet. Beginner's luck.
Well done, everyone. All right. So for the rest of our rounds, we are going to need buzzers. And now we are recording this over Skype, full disclosure, which means buzzing in is a bit of a problem. So fear not, dear listeners. We have problem solvers here. So here's where we find out how they solved this problem for themselves. So Aaron, what is your buzzer?
Rock piano.
That's excellent. Rox, and for you?
Drums, wooden drums.
I like it. John, what have you got?
I went with the more classical game show buzzer.
That's very good. Well done. And Jay?
Jay, stop rocking out. What's your buzzer?
It's El Kabong.
It is El Kabong. Well done.
El Cabong, yes.
Yes, I you know, when I do edit this, I am going to capture that. That's going to be a ringtone or something for me. I'm just saying. So excellent. We'll move on to round three, where those buzzers are going to come in handy. Now, it's a not as quick fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. So once the answer is given, and give people a little chance to get going and get some words out, but once the answer is given, you can buzz in for one of three reasons. If you feel there is a problem your colleague has not foreseen, if you think you have a better altogether solution, or if you can argue for why it's not actually a problem in the first place. So, ready everyone? Rox, we'll start with you. Rox, solve this. You find yourself on a remote island owned by a General Zaroff who plans to hunt you for sport.
Oh. Well, considering I read that story, The Most Dangerous Game.
What story? I don't know what you're talking about. This is all original ideas.
I know. Unfortunately, I've read this somewhere in the crawl spaces of my house. Well, you know, I did find myself onto this island after I ran away from my second date. So I have all this steak with me. A lot of it. A couple cases, I believe. So if anything, maybe his tracking skills are not as on par as a werewolf's, but they're probably decent. So I'll make sure I throw some steak along the way to throw the scent off. And then I will come across Arnold Schwarzenegger, who you didn't know was there. And he's already built that strange trebuchet battering ram. Because we're good buds. Because you know what? I knew Schwarzenegger when I served him hot lava coffee. So he's... You know, this is actually his property. So, as I'm running really through the...
I saw a really different version of The Most Dangerous Game.
this is the unproduced screenplay by Mark Protasevich, Jay, I think.
So anyway, I run through and Arnold just goes, "Hey, Rox, do you have coffee?" I'm like, "Yes, I do. Let me go pull some up." And, "Oh, there's a man behind me chasing me. Would you take care of it?" "Yes, I will." Done.
Is that yeah? Yes, Aaron.
I don't even know what the problem is anymore. Where did we go with that?
Aaron, I think she's just living in her own little world that she's building over there.
Well, I mean, this is not new. Have you met Rox?
Does she know we're playing a game?
I'm just sort of alarmed that basically it's Rox going, "Well, how many callbacks can I do in a single round?"
I know.
Yeah, I also find it hard to believe that
I'm
she
in
would
last
still have
place this... anyway.
I find it hard to believe she would still have the steak that was on her naked body from earlier, because there's not a single chance that would go 5 minutes without a Japanese businessman eating it.
Yes, John, I heard you buzz.
Well, first of all, I want to ask Aaron, did I miss the part when she got naked? I don't remember that part.
Maybe that was just my mind.
Oh, okay.
I heard steak on woman body, I just assumed.
Perhaps you have a problem that needs to be solved as well.
That'll be the next episode.
Actually, I have a much better solution for her.
Okay, go.
And she was onto it, but I'm surprised she didn't go down that route. Since the wolf is tracking her from all the way, the werewolf is tracking her from all the way across the world, she should take the steak, which obviously he's grabbed the scent of by now, and plant it on the general and allow the werewolf to take care of her problem.
That's too obvious.
Oh, I'm nothing if not practical. As I drink my $5 bottle.
it's so obvious it just might work.
And if you notice, I said that with conviction.
Yeah, yes, Rox, you did. And you get a bonus point for your defense being a complete and utter diss of John's response. All right, we'll move on to the next one then. Aaron, this one's for you.
Oh.
You're trying to sell insurance to some green pigs when suddenly, out of nowhere, the place gets bombarded by a bunch of pissed off birds.
I'm just glad there was no haddock this time around. Okay. Green pigs. Racist motherfucker. and we're attacked by birds. Well, luckily, because obviously it's my insurance company, because I'm not going to work for some other dude. You know, I'm well to do. I have already hired as my associate Tippi Hedren. So purely for this scenario. So basically, I will call her out of the car, let her be a distraction, and make my getaway. Also securing a premium bond and a lifetime assurance policy for those pigs first. Because, you know, it's a tough recession at the moment, so you got to get business sorted. But yeah, that Tippi Hedren is my answer.
Okay. Yes, Rocks, go.
Green pigs like herring and fish and haddock.
Wait, he didn't actually.
Are you collecting callbacks? You're not Pokemon.
Yeah, well, he didn't actually have haddock with him. In fact, he made a point of saying that he had no haddock on him, so.
Well, that is the name of my insurance company, Hedren, Pool, and Haddock.
Well done, and I think if we do solve this t-shirts, that'll be the first one. Anyone else care to weigh in? Oh, kabong. Yes, Jay.
It sounds like a downright Susian world he's living in. So I would invoke the other business partner, Horton, who hears a who, and have him round up the birds and take them to his own universe.
So a surreal Susian escape. I like that.
Yes.
Not many people know this, but the sequel to that book is Horton Hears a Policy Agreement.
Yes, John.
Being practical as I am, I would just go over by the green pig that's over by the rock that I can never seem to get rid of. He's right behind that rock over there, and he never gets hit. That is all.
I appreciate your practicality. All right, well done. We'll move on to the next one then. Jay, this one's for you.
Okay.
Right, so, beer expert Michael Jackson. Not the singer, mind you, but the beer expert has returned from the dead and is coming round to your place for a pint. But the only thing you have in the house is cheap cider.
Oh, Lord. That is a problem. I would invite him to take a stroll down the street.
Okay.
And go to the store and buy more beer.
And it would actually probably be an interesting experience with him.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, that Rocks.
Completely.
Oh, that it's simple. You would invoke the ghost of Vincent Price, who would acquire some beer for you, because he would see that your kitchen is fairly bare of any essentials of entertaining, and as the gourmand that he was, he would know where to get it.
I would definitely get him to sign my cookbook too.
Oh yeah,
my Vincent Price cookbook.
Well done. Yes, Aaron.
I don't necessarily have a problem with his solution, but I would like him to get bonus points for not actually pimping his own company.
Done. All right. Anyone else care to weigh in? And that would be a no.
No, it's a perfect solution.
It is a good solution. I do appreciate bonus points there. Go to Rocks for bringing up Vincent Price as a gourmand. And initially, I'm simply going, where is she going with this? Because it was Rocks. All right. So, John, finally we come to you. John, solve this, John. Indiana Jones 5.
Okay. Inevitably, there will be a gun somewhere. I will take it. And I've never contemplated this before, but I may literally have to shoot my brains out. Yes, it's very dark. It's not really the solution anyone was looking for, and I'm sorry to bring everyone down. But it really is a world that I do not want to live in anymore.
Yes, Jay!
I just wanted to punctuate his perfect solution.
When I hear that, I just want to scream El Toro. Yes, Aaron!
I think he saved the bullet for the wrong person, really, though. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, yes, yes, Rocks.
I say serve molten hot lava coffee to end all Jesus. Of their lives.
So Rocks, what, John, one second. Rocks, were you by any chance running craft services at Jonestown?
No.
Just wondering. All right, John, yes.
I guess I should ask the question. It may be too late now after my dire response. Who produced and or wrote this?
Well, it's not specified on the card here in front of me, so I would say it's probably best to assume the worst.
Okay, who and or whom or who is starring?
I would assume the worst as well. And by that, to answer your questions, I would probably say, let's say, Uwe Boll, Roland Emmerich, and Shia LaBeouf in that order.
Actually, that'd probably be better than the fourth one. but I still stand by my original
solution. And there you have it. It wouldn't be a podcast unless we went to a dark place. So, but bonus points, which will go to your estate, John. Moving on then, we go to round four. Now, round four is our group round. Here's how it works. You will be given a complicated problem to solve. As part of your solution, you should mention someone else you are going to contact for help. And at that point, I will say, freeze! And I will assign that role to someone else on the panel. You must then work together to solve the problem. Now, please note, as in the past, bonus points will be given if you can actually work towards resolution instead of utter and complete doom. For those who may have joined us on this third episode, we have a history of going to utter and complete doom. So, Aaron, we'll start with you. You find yourself shrunk to a tiny size, and you are lost inside an ant farm.
Martin Short's still in retirement. God damn it. Okay.
But he was great on Law and Order.
And
was he?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Well, Martin Short's just great. Can we just talk about Martin Short for the next few months? I think that would be a better round. Okay, no,
unless
mind.
You're actually calling Martin Short on the phone, then no.
I'm calling Martin Short on the phone.
Okay, there you
He's
go.
He's the only known expert in this field.
All right, John, you are Martin Short. Aaron, make the call.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Martin.
That's the best Martin Short impression. Hello?
It's actually better than mine. Keep going.
Martin, I find myself in miniature form. This is not another racial slur against Irish people. So I know I saw Inner Space, awesome movie. I'm wondering if you could help me out here, because last time someone was in miniature form and jumped into your body, hilarity ensued.
I'm not sure that you saw. All of a sudden, I'm short of Southern. I believe you reached the wrong Martin Short.
Oh, sorry. Is this not Martin Short, the movie star?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe in the cinema.
Well, I don't know. Maybe like because, you know, sometimes in prequels and stuff like that they replace the actor with somebody who looks creepily similar. So
you'd be surprised how often I get this call. So let me call the real Martin Short. Hold on.
Oh, okay, God. This is lucky.
All right. Jay, I guess that makes you the real Martin Short. John, make the call.
Hello, you've reached Martin Short's answering machine.
Damn it.
Leave a message at the beep. If you happen to be caught in an ant farm after having been shrunk, call my veterinarian. Number is 555-1212.
I think we know where this is going. Rox, you're the vet.
Hello. Hello, Spaz House veterinarian and chiropodist. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm a tiny Irishman.
I'm sorry?
No, don't be. It happens a lot. But I'm caught in an ant farm at the moment. And
sir, aren't they the killer type ants? Or are they the kind, the fire ants? What kind of ants?
Or is it the Disney show?
Who is this?
Oh, this is Short.
You're still on the line?
Hello!
Who am I speaking to?
Well, I'm a tiny Irishman. We don't have names.
Do you have problems with your feet?
No, they're happy.
I'm a chiropodist as well.
Okay. European joke. European callback! I was just thinking, the ants haven't killed me yet, so if they are killer ants, they suck at their job. So let's assume that they're fire ants.
Oh, okay.
That's call waiting.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on, I have to line real quick. Can I put you guys on hold?
No, okay. Well, yeah. Okay, what you need to do is run quickly away from the ants because the ants have cobra venom if you're really small.
Aaron, listeners, remember when we told you early on in the show that this doesn't always end well? This is what we were talking about.
Aaron, I think I really think you should take that call.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. There's no sound that call waiting makes, so answered.
Hi, this is Martin Short returning your call. I saw that I had missed your call.
Hi, Martin. I'm a tiny Irishman. Don't ask. But yeah, I was just wondering, after seeing Inner Space, if I could crawl into your body through whatever orifice you feel comfortable with, and if we could go on hilarious adventures. I was wondering if that would be okay.
You wouldn't have to be caught in an anthill, would you? In an ant farm, would you?
I am, but I don't know which one. I'm left on North Haverbrook.
I've experienced this before. Being a tiny Irishman, you just keep digging until you find the pot of gold.
Okay, and I walk out on the Rainbow Bridge that comes from it?
Exactly.
Why didn't I think of that already? Jesus.
As a tiny Irishman, you are an honorary leprechaun. You will automatically know where the pot of gold is, and that will be your escape.
Thanks again. Once again, Martin Short, there's nothing you can't do.
I can't get a job to save my life, but I can do this.
And scene. all right. Well, that was fascinating. Points all around. I'd like to give extra points to John and Jay for initially both deflecting the call, which has not happened before. And then Jay for going from being jokingly racist to racist. So well done. Although Aaron started it by the tiny Irishman thing, which is going to be another T-shirt. So okay, fine. Moving.
Also, if the ladies would like to see my tiny Irishman, sorry, I'll stop there. We'll go on.
But wouldn't that be referred to as shillelagh? Yeah. Yes.
Just punctuating.
Just punctuating. That is the sound of you unveiling your tiny Irishman.
It's the rock and roll equivalent of a rim shot.
And we'll pause there. All right, now moving on. Jesus. Yes, this is there are different kinds of doom, utter listeners. So, Rox, we'll move on to you. Here is your problem. That stray white cat you brought home wasn't a stray. It turns out to be Blofeld's cat, and he showed up at your house thinking you catnapped it.
Wow. Okay. Well, from one supervillain to another. this almost isn't a problem.
Mm.
Okay. Wow. Ah, wow.
She's just trying to think of how many callbacks she can call.
I know. She really is. She really is.
No, because it's like he's really cool. And wow, I'd be like, holy crap, I'm a fan of yours, sir. Unfortunately, I was riding my bike and, I found this cat.
All right, let's freeze.
So anyway, Rox, freeze.
I will go ahead and give you a Blofeld to talk to. John, you are Blofeld. And you are now talking to Rox. Go.
Hello, Rox.
Hello, sir. I am a fan of your work.
I am
really amazed on how fast your tracking device really works. Mine is
for some time, Rox. You can't kill that many hobos and not draw my attention. I understand you have my pussy.
She's fine. The ghost of Vincent Price was just here and he made some gourmet cat food for
really?
You. Cat.
Yes, Aaron, really.
Really? The ghost of Vincent Price, you say?
Oh, yes.
You know, he's a good friend of mine. Let me send him back over there real quick. Oh,
Jesus.
All right, freeze. Jay, you have to be the ghost of Vincent Price.
That was
we're all going to hell for this show.
I know we are, but it's okay. We'll have each other. So Jay, you're the ghost of Vincent Price, and you are on the premises.
What's the problem, man?
Oh, hello, Vincent. Remember, thank you for the cat food.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is Mr. Blofeld. You remember him in the films, correct?
Not familiar. Not actually familiar.
Oh, well, I hope that there's not a problem. I found this cat. Maybe you could act as intermedia. I was riding my bike home and this cat just jumped out in front of me and I didn't want to run it over. So I took it home and you were so nice to you know, make some cat food. Anyway, I really don't want him to like blow up my house, my lair. There are so many secrets here, as you know.
Turn to page 865 in my cookbook.
Oh, I have that on hand. Okay, 865.
Good. It's the recipe for Kahlua pig.
Our
shovel, gunny sack, salt, and hay.
Well, you know, I already have a hole dug out in the back of my house. Okay, I'm good with that.
You know I'm still in the line, right?
Yes. We're going to make up a really great, you know, you're invited.
Hold on, let me send someone else over there. Mr. Bond. Not yet, have you?
Oh, Jesus. Freeze. Aaron, apparently you're James Bond, and you're now on the premises. Go.
There is absolutely no reason for me to be here.
Would you like some hors d'oeuvres?
Well, yes.
We're going to be cooking Kahlua pig later, but we're substituting cat.
God. It's not the first time I've had pushy. And scene.
That's Aaron calling scene for.
Aaron calling scene. Wow, that's ballsy. Wow.
There was no way this was ending up well.
Well, I will say that while doom was not achieved, utter confusion was.
That's Spaz House.
And I have to say, you weren't exactly Bond, Aaron. You were more some guy from Egypt named Ramirez. So I'm very confused.
it sounded very Sean Connery to me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Indeed.
I tried. After my Sundance kid impression last week, I don't think I could really do any worse. So.
Hang on. Makes note. Give Aaron more impressions. Okay, we'll move on to the next one then. Jay, this one starts with you.
Excellent.
Jay, you find yourself as a supporting character, i.e. not a star that is guaranteed survival, in a Roland Emmerich disaster movie where the Earth is about to collide with a giant bagel.
I see.
Yes, you would, because it is very large.
Or a sesame seed.
Yes, indeed.
And now while we're giving Jay time to contemplate that one, once again, I drifted off. So could you give us a start with our problem again?
I might keep this one in this time. So Jay's problem, Aaron, is that he finds himself as a supporting character, i.e. potential fodder, in a Roland Emmerich disaster movie where the Earth is about to collide with a giant bagel. And the fact that you didn't listen to that must have made the sesame seed joke very bewildering.
The first thing I would suggest to the director is that my character is Jewish or converts to Judaism as soon as the meteor bagel appears in the night sky.
Meteor bagel. I love that. Wait, freeze. Well, John, you are Roland Emmerich. Jay, you can plead your case.
Yes, what is it? I'm very busy.
I think my character should be Jewish. I think he has a better chance of survival.
Sure, he's Jewish. Wait, are you making a joke?
No, I'm just trying to understand my character. You made him a hairdresser. But I want to make him a Jewish hairdresser, so he has a second side to him.
Everyone knows Jews aren't hairdressers. Whoa, that was racist. Why didn't you talk to the AD? AD?
The ironic part would be that he would be a bald hairdresser.
Rox, you are the AD, and you are called on set by Roland Emmerich. Go.
AD, whatever.
Am I fired?
In a moment, but first, this gentleman wants to be apparently my Blofeld character. Come over here to this one. He wants to be Jewish. What is the implication there? There's a Bagel coming to the Earth. Is there something we can do with that? Get him out of my face.
Well, we have all this cream cheese for the third act of the film, sir.
Yeah, the third act.
So, just so you know, sir, they did get the cream cheese from a kosher deli. So, it is blessed by a rabbi. So, I think it would be okay that he is Jewish.
Well, that also provides our solution. We just replace the oceans with vats of kosher cream cheese so that the bagel has a nice soft place to land.
Yes. I have a writer in here. Can we get a writer to rewrite this last act?
Aaron, Aaron, you're not calling the shots on the show. You're the writer.
I also have another issue. My death scene falls on a Saturday, and I'm afraid that's the Sabbath, and I can't work that day.
No, sir. Actually, it is a Friday, so you have until Sunday. We have until sundown.
Sure. I just can't touch any light switches or drive any cars.
At sundown.
Oh, at sundown, yes.
Can you drive a rocket ship? Perhaps one powered by cream cheese.
Listen, guys, I don't know if I have enough room on the back of this envelope to finish off the rest of the script.
I've got a napkin. Because I'm holding this lava coffee.
I found a really good recipe for bagels in my in this Vincent Price cookbook.
and scene.
I hope we get sponsorship from that book.
only an out of print book would sponsor.
Exactly. Well, I think we have a better chance of getting Kraft to sponsor us based on how often cream cheese came up in that particular scenario. But Jay, I will give you a bonus point for with the idea of filling the oceans with cream cheese as being a better film than 2012. So well done. It doesn't take much, but well done. All right. So John, lastly, we come to you.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah.
John, you are a troll living under a bridge and you apparently have a goat infestation to deal with.
Goat infestation, you say?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Did you not?
He's the troll, right?
Yes. Okay, did you not pay attention again? What is happening?
Who are you?
he's implying that he I'm a troll. That's what he's implying. That I'm ugly and fat. And yes, I know. I'm aware of all these things.
I'm sorry.
Pity me. Anyway,
have some lava coffee.
Why? Thank you.
Is this a business that you're trying to push, Rox? I mean, come on.
I'm working on it. I have to get points somehow.
You might want to verify lavacoffee.com is not already.
I'll check after the show.
And we're owned by Rox.
Well, now, since I can't edit that bit out, we're owning it now if it's not already taken. Anyway, so, John, troll, bridge,
troll,
goats,
bridge,
go.
Bridge troll. Oh, boy. What can I do to get rid of all of these goats? They won't leave me alone. I could call El Caban.
I suggest you open a goat meat and goat cheese taco stand.
Jay, I guess that makes you the voice of God or something.
God, what can I do? Help me now.
Open a goat meat taco stand.
So saith he. Allow me to go over to this burning trash can over here. What do you say, burning trash can?
Hey, step away. This is mine. I'm a hobo.
Okay.
Oh, find your own trash can.
If only I can get across this little ravine. Oh, look, the water's parting. Who's that on the other side?
No, I'm not doing it.
No, Aaron, actually, you are a very confused goat.
Meh.
I think that was a sheep.
Quiet, you.
Well, Jay, I did say confused.
It looks all the same from behind.
Yeah, I'm a sheep trapped in a goat's body. Man? See, that's how you act, motherfucker. You can tell that sheep.
John, are you moving in any direction, much less towards a resolution?
Hey, buddy! it's the hobo over here. You got a problem with goats?
Yes, I do. And God is
okay. Going to talk. All right. Okay. Listen. No. Listen. I can.
Yeah. God solves this. You think you're better than God, hobo, dear?
Yeah, I do.
It's a talking goat. It's a talking goat.
I know, but here's the thing. God doesn't know about the hobo convention in Britt, Iowa. Okay. We need some meat to make some hobo stew. So God is kind of right on making the taco stand. You just send it to Britt, Iowa in August, and you could feed all the hobos who show up.
You know, that doesn't really get rid of my goats, right? I mean, I can kill them. This is true, but there will be more goats.
Dude, she didn't mention lava coffee. Just go with it. This is the best we may get out of this.
Do you have any place where there's a good recipe?
Oh, yeah. In the Vincent Price cookbook on Vienna, the section on Vienna foods, there is. And Mexico.
I got a musical goat down here, too.
It's very impressive, this musical goat.
Well, that, you know, you should take on the road.
Okay, I'm going to get my gun from the previous.
Weird, for the love of fucking God, call the end of this round.
I'd call it a lot faster if you'd quit calling the scenes for me. Why do you think I made you a goat?
Yes. God's calling. Yes. God's calling. Yes. Everyone look busy.
Yes, God. What do you have to say, Jay?
Learn taxidermy.
I just really hope every time Jay walks into a room, that noise comes. It's like, I have arrived.
All right. Well, I will call a scene at this point because we've had a taco stand, hobo stew, take him on the road as a vaudeville act, and do a taxidermy bit out of it. Surprisingly, Jay, I am a little disappointed that you did not try to befriend the talking goat and make him a roommate along with the Fonzie, the Bigfoot, and the creature from the Black Lagoon. But maybe you run out of room in your apartment.
I have crawl space.
Of course you do. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the round. Did we have any? Well, I think we'll give bonus points for the fact that we had multiple solutions there, even though we kept meandering around among them. So at least we had one problem in that round that did not go to utter doom and or confusion and or surrealism. So
we did have a confused goat.
You had a very confused goat, and that was acting. So you get a bonus point for fine acting, Aaron. So now that brings us to the end of the round and the end of the show. And I will take a moment to total up the scores that I see in front of me here. And I see that we've got basically it's as it was before. Rocks in third place with an unassailable.
Alan Davies in fourth place.
20 now Alan Davies hardly ever gets 20 points, which you have done. So 20 points and a new lava coffee franchise. That's Rocks. We have Aaron and John are tied at 21 points apiece. Yes.
I do have to confess something before you go any further with the counting.
Yes.
I did request that Jay get a point taken away.
Yeah.
Or a bad pun. However, I cannot in good conscience accept a point for my slinking away during my slinky bit. So therefore I must dock myself a point.
You're docking.
Can I have his point?
Sure, Rox, you can.
Okay. Much better. My conscience is clean. God was talking to me earlier, so.
Yeah, I heard the guitar, so I knew he was talking to you. Yeah.
We can't even get through the points giving. What the fuck?
Welcome to solve this, Aaron. Hope you survived the experience. All right, so we'll go back and we'll say, John, that puts you in third place with 20 points. That puts Aaron and Rox tied at 21. And El Kabong is in the lead with 25. Well done, everyone. Yes. Oh, the humanity. Now, that brings us to the end of the show. I just want to say to everyone, thank you for listening to Solve This. And if you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement of the world, then you can send that problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. So until next time, on behalf of John Boutel, Jay Edwards, Aaron Poole, and Roxas Spazhouse, this is me, Widget Walls, saying goodbye. So, goodbye!
Wait, what?